Wonder if you could turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and then said unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alter it not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did before time. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter it not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regarded not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh this petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou serve continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I not done hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and language that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom Men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. At the end of chapter 4, we saw a miraculous change had occurred in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a man who exalted himself and ignored the blessings that God had showered upon him. He became one who honored and praised God, a change that resulted in further blessings. We all know that we live a life and there is a time when there is a change, and because of that change, we receive blessings from God. In chapter 5, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, having failed to take note and to learn from his grandfather's relationship with God, dishonored God by using God's holy vessels as ordinary drinking vessels. He had a party which we're told he had organized for 1,000 people, not a little party. And he and his compatriots used God's holy vessels as ordinary drinking vessels, and no doubt to praise foreign gods. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we read of the divided kingdom of Babylon because of his dishonoring God. The Babylonian kingdom was given to the Medes and the Persians, which brings us to chapter 6. I've divided the chapter in basically three sections. Verses 1 to 9, we have conspiracy against Daniel. With Belshazzar dead, the Babylonian kingdom having fallen and being divided between the Medes and the Persians, as decreed by God, Darius the Mede was placed in charge of the Babylonian kingdom. Darius shows wisdom as the new ruler of Babylon. In order to help him manage this new kingdom, he set up what I've called an administrative organization. This consisted of 120 officials, and these 120 officials were managed by three supervisors. Daniel faithfully served God under the Babylonian authority as a teenager. He continued to faithfully do so, and now in his 80s, he was going to serve the Medes and Persians. You could say that a sovereign God kept his servant in high place, because with the change of government, Daniel was, excuse the word, a foreigner, and he was also in his 80s, so he could have been completely ignored. But we see that he was chosen as one of the three supervisors. You might say that God kept a light in a dark place. And we see that God's servant's performance was much better than his associates. It was so much better that the thought was that he would take management over the whole administrative organization. Daniel's performance was because of God's blessings. If we remember back in the queen's description of Daniel's gift, he had an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas. Quite a CV, as I mentioned last time. As a result of Daniel's blessing, in verses 4 to 9, those who did not like him as a foreigner decide to have a conspiracy against him. The other members of the administrative group, which included the 120, we'll read their princes and presidents, became jealous of Daniel's favor with the king. They had a religious and a racial problem with Daniel. As Gentiles, they could not tolerate a former prisoner and a Jew who worshipped Jehovah to be in such a high position. Because of envy and jealousy, a plot was hatched. It is worth remembering that jealousy is not always sinful. Because we read in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. They agreed to look for an opportunity that they could use to discredit Daniel and have him removed from the office. They carefully search, as the saying goes, going through everything that Daniel did with a fine-tooth comb. However, they could find no evidence of unfaithfulness, negligence, or corruption in his work. And the reason, because Daniel was faithful. He was a loyal servant. He was trustworthy. He was responsible. And he was honest. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 24, we read, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We're all believers. Some of you still work. But there's a challenge for those who are still employed. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye servants, but as if you're serving the Lord. Unable to find any fault in Daniel's work or in his loyalty to Darius, they decided to look elsewhere. Daniel was known for his faithfulness and devotion to Jehovah, the God of Israel. So they decided to use that as a weapon against him. Having devised a scheme, they assembled before the king and they presented him with a picture. And I, using modern terms, the picture that they presented to him stirred his own pride. A picture that was not unusual in their custom. We saw an example in chapter 3 with Nebuchadnezzar's statue offering worship to the king, worship that would normally be offered to a pagan god. This was not acceptable to one who worshipped Jehovah. The conspirators told the king that all his officials had unanimously come to an agreement. Note unanimously, not true. Because Daniel was not included when the agreement was made. The agreement was that the king should pass and enforce a decree that anyone who made a petition of any god or man except the king for 30 days should be cast into the lion's den. In other words, for a month, the king would be treated like a god. The conspirators were in a haste to set their trap. It seems that they had prepared all the necessary documentation. Only a signature from the king was required. That signature would make the decree lawful. Having presented to the king, they urged the king to sign the writing establishing the decree. And it says that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altering not. And the party, when a royal Persian made a law decree, it was effectively divine because he is supposed to have been inspired by one of their gods. So if I was king and I make a decision, it would accept, or the nation would accept, that God had inspired me, or one of their gods, and because he's inspired me, whatever I have written, that was it, and it could never be changed. The result? Our pride can make us blind. The king officials laid a trap, and unfortunately for King Darius, he failed to see the trap. You know, sometimes we see things or things are presented to us, but because of how we're looking at it or what we have in our mind, we fail to see the wider circumstances that could result from what we do or say. King Darius failed to see the trap that had been set for the one in whom he had confidence. So his official used him to spring the trap. They knew that once the decree was put into effect, no one, not even the king, could change it. And so, under pressure, the king signed the decree, making it a part of the law of the Medes and Persians. I imagine the officials left the king feeling rather triumphant. Their trap, with the king's help, had been set. This was the desire of the conspirators. It wasn't to make Daniel an idolater. They wanted to get rid of him. They knew he was a faithful follower of his God. He would not change what he believed in. So they had to get rid of him. It was only a matter of time, as far as they were concerned, that the trap that has been set, Daniel would be caught in it. Verses 10 to 17, my second section. Daniel's detection, trial, and sentence. God honors those who honor him. Daniel was a faithful servant of the God of heaven, and he continued to honor his God. He knew about the writing and may have even suspected the purpose of it. But he chose to do that which was right in God's sight. He could have closed the windows, his windows, and prayed. He could have prayed quietly for 38 days, thinking, my life is in danger. God wouldn't mind if I don't pray for 30 days. But no, he didn't. With the windows open, he prayed. He did what was right in God's eye and put his trust in God. Consistent in prayer. Our priority should always be to do that which is right and which pleases our God. The officials, they knew Daniel's routine, and so they gathered and they kept watch. And as they expected, Daniel, they found him praying and making supplication before God. It is good if people could depend upon us because of our love for God and because of our faithfulness in doing that which is right in God's eyes. Out of the heart comes forth evil, evil that manifests itself in words and actions. Words, we read, that can cause as much pain as any razor. The conspirators knew the king had signed the decree, but they weren't taking any chances. Having seen Daniel continuing in his prayer, they went to him and they addressed the king. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den? The king, unaware of the trap, answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. You can imagine the glee of the conspirators as they replied to the king. You know that Daniel, his action really was not one of disobedience or rebellion against Darius. He was just continuing as his custom was to spend time in prayer before God. There are words, this Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. They spoke the truth, but words that are spoken in truth can be turned in such a way that it causes hurt. And that's exactly what they did. Their intention was to cause Daniel harm. That Daniel, the children of the captivity of Judah, hinting that as a Jew, he was against Darius, a Gentile. Too late, the king realized, as we would say today, he had been set up. When he heard the words of the conspirators, he was sore displeased with himself. He was sore displeased with himself. Blinded by his pride, he had failed to see the trap that had been set. But having realized what he had done wrong, we read that he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Unfortunately, the law had been written, and the law could not be changed. His relationship with Daniel had been brief, but what he had experienced so far had been favorable. Again, it's a challenge for us as we live out our daily lives. God places us in the paths of different people under different circumstances. It may be brief, but that brief meeting can have an influence on the individual that we have met. His relationship with Daniel had been brief, but what he had experienced had been favorable. The officials, on the other hand, sought to press home what they believed to be their advantage. Man's sinful nature loves evil, the driving force, love it more than doing good. They were disturbed by the king's desire to set Daniel free. So they once more assembled before the king and said unto him, "You know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." They were making sure that whatever the king tried to do, they remind him that he could not change the law. There was only one thing left for the king. He commanded that Daniel be brought and cast into the den of lions. We are once more reminded of the importance of a faithful testimony. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The king said to Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." The conspirators desired evil, Daniel's death. However, out of evil, a gracious God brings forth good. A sovereign God could have intervened earlier, but his timetable and ours are not always in sync. He is faithful in his promise, and he will deliver. A deliverance that was going to bring further glory and honor to the God of Israel. A stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. A contrast between the officials and the king. The officials no doubt rejoiced that their plan had succeeded. They failed to consider the sovereignty of Daniel's God, the God he faithfully served. The king believed that Daniel's God was able and would save him. The third section, verses 18 to 24. We're not told of Darius' personal relationship with God. We do know that God knows each of our hearts and the actions that come forth. He sees. Belshazzar was told, "Thou art weighed and found wanting." The action of Darius, he had a miserable night. He went to his palace and passed the night fasting. There was no music or entertainment, something which a king, and you know from in the Bible, that they would normally do. David was invited to go and praise and play music in order to ease a troubled heart or mind. The king could not sleep. Was that an attitude of humility and repentance? Having not slept, the king went very early in the morning to the lion's den. When he arrived at the den, he cried out to Daniel in a sad voice. When we pray, we all have high hopes and faith that God would answer our prayer as we expect him to, or as we would like. But we know that his answer is not always in the way we hope and not always in the time that we desire. But we need to trust him. Daniel, servant of the living God, is like God whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. He had told Daniel that God would deliver him. If Daniel was dead, it meant that Daniel's God was unable to save him. The king, however, hoped that Daniel would answer him. Verse 21-22, a living Daniel responds. Daniel answered the king, "No doubt," to the king's relief, "my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me." Daniel trusted God, and a faithful God delivered. Daniel had not violated God's law. He had not been guilty of mismanagement in his job, and he had showed loyalty to the king. The king, filled with great relief and joy, commanded that Daniel should be taken up out of the den. There is some speculation on the arrangement of the den, but some of you may remember that when we did chapter 3, Daniel's friends in the lion's den, I mentioned that the pit consisted of an entrance where they went in, or normally at the top of the pit was a hole in which the items that were going to be burned or melted was thrown in at the top, and then the final product, depending on whether they were burning or melting, whatever, would then be taken out through the door at the side. And it is believed that because nobody was there, it's a similar arrangement. So you have this big ball, if you like, with a hole and a trapdoor at the top, and that's where Daniel was thrown in. And this was then connected to an underground tunnel where the lions would normally go. But when they wanted to feed them, they just opened the trapdoor and throw whatever they wanted to feed them. And the door at the side was where initially the lions were put in, which to me makes sense. And so Daniel was taken out of the hole, trapdoor at the top. Yep. But the lions, I don't know how they got them into the tunnel, and it doesn't say, but that's basically the arrangement. I just wanted to explain, because the next bit we come to, Daniel having been taken out of the pit, we read that the king commanded that the men that had accused Daniel to be cast into the lion's den, along with their children and their wives. So the hole through which Daniel was saved became the hole through which they were thrown in. And as we read earlier, the door at the side had the seal of the king and the other lords, so that door could not be opened. Again, because of the laws of the Medes and Persian. So once you were in, the only way was through the top, and only Daniel was taken out. Open, that makes sense. Anyway, so if you like, they had planned to get rid of Daniel. He was thrown in the lion's den, but he was removed. But as a result of what they planned, they were the one that experienced what was planned for Daniel. The final sections, Darius decrees an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. Darius was impressed with the miracle Jehovah had performed. His officials had encouraged him to make a decree. Now inspired by Jehovah's miracle, Darius and Daniel's faithfulness, he issued a new decree. The decree: in every dominion of his kingdom, his subjects was to have reverent respect for Daniel's God. The reason? He described Jehovah as a living God who is eternal, steadfast forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be even unto the end. Worth noting, Darius was a Mede, but he was not, and he issued this decree to everyone in the Babylonian kingdom. And he was not ashamed to acknowledge and recognize Daniel's God. He was a living God, and he goes on to say it's indestructible, eternal. So it doesn't say that he became converted, and we don't know. It's between him and God. But his testimony, he was acknowledging Daniel's God as Daniel would acknowledge him. Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius the Mede and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Despite the enemies who tried to destroy him, Daniel survived and prospered. So what can we take away? We need to remember that the God we serve is sovereign. There's a personal relationship between a sovereign God and those who serve him. My God. Through all the changing scenes of life, Daniel faithfully served his God, and that faithfulness was transferred to those in authority over him. God honors those who honor him. Daniel faithfully served God in a foreign land from a teenager to his 80s, and his God blessed him. May we be known for our faithfulness in serving God for our testimony throughout all the changing scenes of life. May our faith in him never change until that day when he either takes us to be with him or we meet with him in the air. Amen.